now to another matter which perhaps sport might help to alleviate: childhood obesity. And the increasing weight of the nation's children has become a big preoccupation of health experts and government in recent years. Solutions that might reverse the worrying trend are coming thick and fast, and among them being a proposal that restaurants provide calorie counts for all dishes on their menus. And also in recent times it's been proposed that no new takeaway restaurants be built anywhere near a school. I'm joined now in studio by Dr. Donal O'Shea, Director of the Weight Management Service at Loughlinstown and St. Vincent Hospitals in Dublin, and also here Adrian Cummins, Chief Executive of the Restaurants Association of Ireland, who represents a number of takeaway outlets among all sorts of other establishments. Thank you both for coming to studio. Dr. Donal O'Shea, first of all, how serious is the problem of obesity among children and teenagers?
Well, it's the biggest public health issue that we face as a developed world, not even as a country. So we know that 25% even of our three-year-olds are overweight or obese, and the newest statistics show a clear socioeconomic separation. So it is clearly becoming a class issue. Three times more likely to be obese in the lower socioeconomic group compared to the upper. Deb's dresses 6 years ago went up to size 22. They now go up to size 26. Primary school waistbands go up to size 40 inches. So we have an extraordinary problem, and it's not a cosmetic. I mean, there's low self-esteem with that. But we've also done work showing that these overweight and obese kids are turning on their cancer genes, turning on their genes for diabetes and heart disease as young as the age of six. So we absolutely have to act, and we have to act in a very determined manner to stem this tide.
There's never been less, or sorry, there's never been more emphasis though on sport, on active participation. There's more available by way of playgrounds. You see it in your localities in many instances. There's PE in schools and the rest of it. It seems to be a contradiction, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, the physical activity curriculum in schools is under review, and is, if anything, looks like it's going to be maybe not get the prioritising it should have within the curriculum. And that's been actively discussed in Department of Health and Education at the moment. There's a lot of watching sport. So I think participation is good in certain areas. But, you know, and I think if you look at the childhood obesity problem, there's absolutely no doubt. All the epidemiological data said is food intake is the main driver of it. And it takes 2 hours to burn off a can of Coke and a packet of crisps. 2 hours physical activity.
I still recall with amusement, maybe I shouldn't have been amused, and this is going back maybe 7 or 8 years, one of my kids being involved playing a primary school tennis final and the class being allowed to go along. And there was a procession of kids coming from the shop in the tennis club where this was going on, and they were stuffing their faces, and that's the only word, with bars, with crisps, with fizzy drinks and the rest of it. And it was probably the most unhealthy sporting exercise that the school could have engaged in that day.
And I think that is a huge issue. And where we see that now, and we know the harm it's causing to our children, and I mean, that is society facilitating the harm of kids, allowing free access to that, because as a kid your job is to get what you can of high sugar, high fat, high salt, because it's addictive. It tickles parts of the brain that in adulthood are tickled by alcohol and recreational drugs. Kids get their hits if they have too much access to that kind of food, and their job as a kid is to get more.
But against that kind of flow, if you like, and the statistics you gave us earlier about the three-year-olds and also the dress sizes and the waistbands and whatever, doing things like putting calorie counts on restaurant menus or not having takeaways within a certain distance of schools, it seems like a pretty pathetic response. I'm not saying that you believe it should be the only response.
No, and I think, you know, there's a very good map of the determinants of obesity, and there's about 200 determinants of obesity. The two issues you've mentioned are two of those, and will address 1% of the problem. But they make a difference. So if you put calories on menu boards, people will look at them. 25% of people will pay attention and reduce their calorie consumption on average by 100 calories per transaction. That's a huge impact over time on 25% of the population. If you locate fast food outlets a distance away from a school, then it's more difficult for the kids to get there for lunch, and you're making the healthy choice slightly easier. And if they do have to go, at least they are walking. 15 minutes to get there.
Adrian Cummins, Chief Executive of the Restaurants Association. First of all, on the question of the location of fast food outlets, and do you believe that there should be, what do you say to this idea? There should be a limit inside which they cannot be allowed to go where schools are concerned.
I don't think that this proposal will stand up, because you will have a potential new fast food outlet within the 1.5 kilometres. But it also says within playgrounds or sporting facilities. So, for example, it could be actually 3 kilometres away from the school if you take the actual, the practical level of it. It doesn't stand up. You also, the fear factor is that it is with regard to planning permission. So if a premises is a rented premises and they have to move to another premises, and a lot of businesses rent their own premises, they will have to reapply for more planning permission again. So that means that an existing business can be put out of business by that proposal in the long term. So I don't believe that that's a correct way to move forward. But also, when you look at school kids now, when they go downtown, is what the usual term that they use, is they will go into a shop, into a deli counter, and get a chicken fillet roll and wedges as well with it. And are we going to ban those also across the board? And I think that over the last 2 months and over the last 12 months in total, the food service industry, be it restaurants, fine dining, quick service restaurants or fast foods, feel that there's a declaration of war on us from the Department of Health. And that's their gut feeling at the moment. The calories on menus, for one example, the vast majority of fast food large scale operators have brought it in, and that's exactly what has been done in the United States. But the targeting the individual operators doesn't make any common sense on a practical level.
So you say, Adrian, it'd be okay. You think it's feasible for, say, outfits like McDonald's or Burger King, or even to come closer to home, Pat McDonough in Supermax, to provide that information? But are they doing it?
And they have done it. And they have done it, and it's in the United States, it's 15 units or more is the criteria. If you have 15 food service outlets, identical is the criteria in the United States. And they failed to try and implement it for individual outlets. Who's going to go in and...
But is it happening here?
And for the large-scale operators, from the information that's been delivered to the minister, and the minister has said this, that I think it's nearly 90% of the large-scale operators have done that, and they've have accepted it at the moment.
You're shaking your head, Donal O'Shea.
Well, I'm shaking my head because Burger King haven't done it, except where Apple Green insisted they do it for franchises within their units.
That's the filling stations.
Yeah, the filling stations. So, and calories on menu boards, what's critical is that they're up beside the price in the same font as the price. So putting it on a sheet on the tray that you see after you've eaten, or putting it on your website, and you have to go through quite a lot of steps on a website to find out what the calorie content is, isn't enough. So this is an initiative that we know works, makes a difference to 25% of people, and there's very few things to do that, and I think it should be encouraged. I take the point about, you know, down to the individual restaurant and particular challenges, and the US didn't crack that. The minister has said he would like to. The Food Safety Authority have a very impressive menu calculator that will allow people for free to work out what's in their staples. So, you know, I think if people know that their lasagna portion, which will be the same week on week within restaurants, is 600 calories or thereabouts, that's a help. And if you have chips with it, it's another 400 calories. And you've 2/3 of your calorie requirement for the day gone with your lasagna and chips. And it's just about having the information.
Adrian, that doesn't seem like a huge burden to impose on restaurants.
It'll take 20 hours per month to implement your menus, items into this new menu cal that the Food Safety Authority of Ireland have conducted. That's 20 hours. We estimate that's about €5,000 in labour cost alone for a chef to do that, or chefs to do it. And you may have one chef that inputs it. Well, the second chef, the system, will input the exact same ingredients at the exact same time. So there's a whole new regulatory burden being imposed on us to try and stand up to what they're trying to do.
Can I ask, though, what about the possibility of, you know, one the staples on a menu and going through them one a month, so that by the end of a year you have the 12 staples on your menu with the calories clearly displayed? It's an education piece. It's not to restrict. It's just so people know.
A lot of individual restaurants, Donal, will change their menus monthly. and you'll have specials coming on a daily basis as well. And I think as small businesses, and they have failed in the United States to introduce this, and they tried and they've failed. And this, what we feel is that this is trying to be imposed on top of us by the Food Safety Authority of Ireland. We don't know how much money they spent to develop the menu, Cal. We don't know how much money is going to be spent on assisting us from consumers, customer service and all of that.
Donal, aside from these two measures we've been talking about, and you said they represent a very small percentage, about 1 or 2% in terms of influence or of all the things that should be done. What are the other big things that you think should be done?
Well, I mean, the top tips at an individual level for managing your weight are to actually weigh yourself once a week and know what you weigh, to build your physical activity levels up. And the emerging evidence is that it needs to be about an hour a day of, you know, walking, cycling, whatever. Watch the calories, especially liquid calories, and sleep. And a good night's sleep is becoming very important. And we are now also within the field of obesity, realising that 90% of the weight that you put on is irreversible. You can lose 10%. So if you start at 13.5 stone, you can get down to 11.5 stone. But once you're in the severely obese category, it becomes extremely difficult to lose more than 10%. So conservative measures will get 10% off, and it's really difficult beyond that.
I suppose, well, there's nothing there that you would object to, I suspect,
no,
Adrian.
But one point I wanted to raise, Sean, is with regard to education. I think we need to bring it back to basics within our entire education system. We don't teach about healthy eating in schools. And if you take the Swedish model, where they have 20,000 kids at junior cycle, learning about healthy eating, learning about food, what food is, across their schools. And as an association, we're willing and able and wanting to engage in local schools to try and teach kids about healthy eating.
Two quick comments from listeners. Olivia says, Sean, why are the parents not being targeted, as they're the ones that give the money to buy the roll or the burger and chips instead of making them a healthy lunch? And then another listener, this is all dealing with the effects, not the causes. Start with compulsory home economics, basic cooking skills and dietetics in first level schools, continuing through second level. That's from A. Dorney. And just one other point, which has nothing to do with food, but it has lots to do with water. The cabinet meeting is over and Martina Fitzgerald reporting no decision on water charges has been made. We leave it there and we'll be back with something else to do with calories. That's about wine, shortly. But I just want to say thanks to Donal O'Shea and Adrian Cummins for coming to studio. Back after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.